Thanks for checking out the Greater Church podcast today. We're praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message would be encouraging to you. And now, here's today's message.
I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 on. And it says, "And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw the brothers James and Zebedee." And we're going to stop right there in verse 20. And here's what I want to do. I want to preach to you from this message or this idea, the other side of the rail. The other side of the rail. Come on, let's pray. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would come and that you would speak to our hearts, that it would be your words and not my own, Lord. Lord, I thank you for who you are. Thank you for your greatness, Lord God. I thank you for your love. I'm praying, Lord, as we see the men and women that you called to follow you, that we would answer the call, that we would follow you, and that we would bring people on the journey with us, Lord. Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Come on, Greater Church, one more time. Would you put your hands together for Jesus? That was the golf clap of the sanctuary. Pretty awesome, pretty awesome. Follow me, the other side of the rail. I am a pretty big sports fan. We come from the city of Miami. As most of you know, we migrated up here to Georgia, as some of y'all did as well. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. Just me and Dwayne, that's it. That's fine, we're good. We're not fair weather. We've been there since Marino. Jay Fiedler, Tannehill, was a wide receiver. I don't know why he's a quarterback, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. In football, or in all these different sports, you would think, for some of you that don't know anything about sports, you would think that these teams are just put together. Like, they find somebody. They're like, "Carlos, would you like to play with my team?" "Yes." "Mike, you want to play?" "Yeah, you can play as well." And we put everybody together. That's not kind of the way that it works. Here's what happens. You go through a college career. Once you go through a college career, you learn how to play, you go through coachings and different things. And there are other people who probably haven't gone through a college career and they were walk-ons. That's an exception. That's not the rule. So there's mostly everybody would go to college. They would play college sports, basketball, football, even baseball. And then what'll happen is that as they play, people will judge them by their skill and their character. And this thing called the draft will happen. Now in the draft, you got all of these players that are ranked really, really good. And it's funny because they tell you there's a million mock drafts, which means that they tell you what players are going to go first through 10. And none of those players go through first through 10. It's hilarious. But what happens in this draft is where the Dolphins drop the ball every single time. We draft the wrong guy. Why do I say that? Because in the draft, you have the number one player. And since the Dolphins suck, that means that we always get the top players, or we get somewhere around there. Cleveland is pretty bad. Shout out to the Cleveland. Yeah, it's horrible. The Browns are pretty bad. We're pretty good compared to the Browns. But that's neither here nor there. What happens is that the worst team in the league with the record, they get the first pick. And then as the bad teams start, all of a sudden, the last team, the second to last team, those are the guys that start with the draft. So the number one pick, the number two pick is all of the sucky teams, right? So what happens is that the Dolphins are somewhere in there, and we always mess this up because we always take somebody who is horrible. And I don't want to talk bad about them, but there's no hope for the Dolphins sometimes. The Atlanta Falcons, on the other hand, you guys have done pretty good. You guys have taken a really good quarterback and you got some wide receivers. You went to the Super Bowl. We went to the Super Bowl in 1972. Turn up. Exactly. We won and nobody has the ring that we have because we had an undefeated season. I just thought I'd throw that out there. That's the only thing I can throw that out there. We hang our hats on that and the big three that happened in Miami. Turn up. But here's what's going on. We take the draft, and the best player is the one that we try to grab. Every team tries to get the best player because they want their team to be good. So every year, a team that's the worst, they take the best pick, and there's always trades and different things that happen, all with hopes of getting better. Nobody picks the worst player first, except the Dolphins. Nobody does that. Everybody tries to pick the best players. Here we find Jesus starting his ministry. It's at the very beginning of this thing. Jesus is walking around and he's about to go through his draft selection. And the first people that he sees is Peter. Peter and his brother, and he turns to Peter and his brother and he says, follow me. Now, please understand, Peter was a fisherman. For kids, here's what would happen. You would go through life, and everybody's goal in the Jewish faith was to be a rabbi. Like, you would have to learn the Bible. They would teach you the Torah. You had to memorize it. The children were super, super, super well-fed when it came to spiritual things. And that's what here at Greater Church, man, we believe the same thing. Over the next few months, man, we're unraveling and we're trying to unpack what it's going to look like. But we want to start our youth group here at Greater Church, and we're excited about that. We want to get some of the young people because we know that they're the ones that are going to change the world. We got some college ministry ideas and a lot of other things that you hear about in Easter. But for the most part, these children were taken and they would get all of these different trainings and prayers that they would learn in the Bible, and they would do all of these things. And then it would come to a point where they would have to either continue on the path of learning how to be a rabbi or go to your family trade. The ones that went to the family trade were the ones that weren't good enough to be the rabbis. So here we pick up this story with Peter. Peter, who the Bible doesn't say that he was a rabbi. The Bible says that he was a fisherman. Please understand that a fisherman during this time, and there was a lot of them because they were around a lot of fishermen. These people were vulgar. They would curse. They were not that good. They were people who had a little bit of an issue, kind of like a truck driver. If you're a truck driver here, I don't judge you. But on your radio, you know what I'm talking about. Here's what Peter did. Peter hears Jesus, and here's what I'm going to ask you. During this entire message, pull out your phone. If you got to grab an offering envelope or the Feed My Starving Children, if you want to write notes on there, trust me, you're going to want to take some of the things that I say. So take some notes on your phone, on your smartphone, on your dumb phone, whether you got an iPhone or an Android demon. Make sure that you take some notes, man, because I promise you, there's some things in this message and the next couple of messages that you're going to be able to take on the journey with you. Write them on your mirror. You're going to put them in your car, things that are going to actually help you. God wasn't so much interested. Here's something good you could write down. God wasn't so much interested in Peter's ability. He was more interested in his availability. His availability meant more to him than his ability. Why do I say that? Because Peter, who was a mess up and a screw up, here's Jesus. His number one draft pick is Peter, the guy who messed up and who did all of these things. Jesus' first one that he picked was him. Why did he do that? Because Peter chose to be available. Peter had a wife, as we read through scriptures. Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law that lived with him. Shout out to the people who have your mother-in-law living with you. Only the married people laughed. Everybody else was like, what does that mean? You have no idea. But they're amazing. I don't have a mother-in-law. I have a mother-in-law. I love her. I love her so much. She's incredible. If you're listening, Delia, I love you. But he had a wife. He had a job. He was a fisherman, so he was fishing. That was his job. He had a family. There's speculation as to if he had children or not. Whatever, that doesn't matter. All that matters is that he had responsibilities. He had things that he had to be responsible for. He had a wife. He had a job. He had a family. His mother-in-law lived with him. There was a special grace on his life. But here we find Peter, that Jesus says to him, follow me. And he wasn't thinking about what he could or couldn't do. He was thinking about being made available. The Bible says that he drops his net and that he begins to walk with Jesus. Despite of his schedule, despite of the things that he had going on at the moment, he said, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to walk this thing out with you, man. If that doesn't ring true to us, when Jesus has given each and every believer a mandate, we're walking in the very steps of Jesus. If you're a Christian, it means that you're Christ-like, you're like Jesus. Our job and our responsibility is to follow the Savior. And sometimes it takes putting some stuff away, some unnecessary distractions. Sometimes it takes putting some people away. Sometimes it takes stop going to their Facebook account at 3 o'clock in the morning. You need to start blocking them. Sometimes it takes stop going through your old text messages of 4 years ago and you're looking at what you guys were talking about on your erase the text messages. Sometimes you got to let some stuff go. You kind of got to walk away from some stuff. You got to make yourself available. When you make yourself available, God will take that and he will use your abilities. See, Peter's strength was his strategy. What do I mean by Peter's strength was his strategy? Peter was a fisherman. Peter would fish. He would go out there and he would do all of these things. Jesus understood that. And what he ended up doing was that as he goes to speak to him, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So here's the beautiful part about it. He sees him. He knows what his strength is. He says, I'm going to use your strength. Hey, if I can be honest with you, Greater Church, be yourself because everybody else is taken. That was Oscar Wilde. That sounds amazing. It sounds like I said that, but I didn't. I stole it from him. Got it off of Google. Be yourself. Everybody else is taken, man. God has given you special gifts and talents that are placed inside of you. God wants to use those things. God wants to take those abilities that you have and he wants to magnify. We have people all over this church that are incredible. We have some amazing singers. We have Isadora, who's an incredible singer. She's as sick as a dog and couldn't sing today. But she's an amazing singer. She sings unto the Lord. I doubt that Jesus will call her to be algebra teacher. I don't think Jesus is going to come and say, I speak algebra over your life. I want you to go and teach algebra in the schools. That's probably not going to happen. You know what's going to happen, though, is that God's going to use her in her strength. Here you got a guy on stage who my life, and for most of you know my story, and I got to preach fast. Lord Jesus, help me. I had a pretty bad background. When I was a kid, I went to prison. I had some pretty bad issues. But when I was in a gang or whenever I talked, everywhere that I went, I was a leader. Like I would sit here and I said, we're going to beat these people up. Here's where we're going to do this. And I was always sitting there trying to. One time I told the gang, if you don't go to church on Sunday, Santa Cecilia in Hialeah, I'm not even playing. I will get people to tell you this as a witness. You will get violated in the gang if you don't go to church on a Sunday. What I was thinking about. Like, come on. But here was me. God was going to use my strength in leadership. He knew what it was he's not going to make me all of a sudden, I'm going to become a college professor, even though I was a college director. Excuse me. But he's going to use my strength and he's going to play to my strength. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. God was going to use exactly what he has. And man, God's going to use, you think you write amazing blogs, and you have notes on your phones and you have a book that you want to write. Write that. Start moving forward in that gift that God has given you. You're an incredible doctor. Continue to move in that gift that God has given you. And you watch how God will begin to open the doors. Peter's strength was his strategy. Peter's ability or Peter's availability to follow gave him the ability to lead. It's a good thing to write down. His availability to follow Jesus gave him the ability to be able to lead. A few months ago, we talked about these 10 different lepers that came to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they were asking for healing. And Jesus told them, go and show yourself unto the rabbis. Go show yourself to the religious leaders. Go show yourself in the temple. And the Bible says that as they went, they started getting cleansed. And we talked about this over a last few months ago. And it's this idea of when you start taking steps, as you go, God starts giving you the strength. When you make yourself available, God then gives you the ability to be able to do the things that you need to do. And it's just taking a step. It's write the blog, write the song, talk to the chick at Chick-fil-A that you've been wanting to talk to. Marry that girl already and stop wasting your time. Start taking steps. As you start doing that, oh, Chino, I don't know what to do. You know, I gotta make sure that this gets right and this gets right and that gets right. And then when all this lines up, then I'm going to be, man, start going now. Make yourself available now. And you watch how God will turn your availability into ability if you begin to take the steps. You have to start. And it's as you go, God will start developing those things. There's ideas inside of you guys that you have to start taking the steps. If not, vision without action is just an idea. When you go to the cemetery, you find a million ideas that will never come to fruition. You'll find millionaires in there. You'll find incredible songwriters, platinum songwriters. Those ideas will never come back out of that grave because they missed their shot. Take your shot. Take your shot. It's in your ability, in your availability, that God will begin to move in your ability. In verse 19, Jesus turns to him and he says, I will make you a fisher of men. He turns to Peter. He says, Peter, I will make you a fisher of men. I will make you. I will make you. We get so caught up and we think that it's like, I have to be so equipped and I have to have all these gifts and all these talents. You don't have to have any of those things. He said, I will make you. God doesn't call people that are equipped. He equips the people that he calls.
as you go and as you take a step, you will start watching as God will start blessing you and giving you the things that you want. You have the five talents, and we talked about this. There's a guy with five talents, two talents, and the guy with one talent, the guy with five, he starts moving and using the talents, and he gets 10. The guy that had two, he gets 4. The guy that had one, he buries it in the ground. The master comes back and he says, "Where's my talent?" And we tell him, "Where's my talent?" He said, "I buried it in the ground. I didn't know. I was scared," whatever. What ends up happening is that he takes that talent and he gives it to the guy that has five. Off top, you would think to yourself, that's not grace. That's not forgiveness. The guy was scared and he buried it in the ground. Why didn't you just, Jesus, why didn't you forgive him and just give him another talent and let him try again? Why is it that you didn't bless him? Why? Because Jesus, one, he's never called anybody lazy in ministry. All of the disciples were doing something. But the second part of this is that God, if Jesus would have gave him another talent, then what would happen is that he would have squandered that talent, because it's not about what he could or couldn't do. It's about him being lazy and saying, "I don't want to do this thing." And your leadership capacity, as much as you stretch yourself, is as much as God's going to do. Here at Greater Church, man, we're trying to build leaders because we want to make sure that people could come to this place and their lives can be changed. What happens is that if we just kind of preach and I keep pandering and, you know, and tickle you and, "Oh, God has this and God has this," and all of this stuff, and you go home and you come back and it's the same thing, what ends up happening is that when God begins to bring people, we won't have the leadership capacity to keep people. So what we have to make sure is that when we're leading in this thing, that we understand that that gift that he's given us, use it. God is not going to give you something if your leadership capacity isn't up to par or isn't up to where it should be. What's going to end up happening is that he will give you these things and your life will get messed up, because now all of a sudden you're carrying something that you weren't meant to carry and that you don't have the ability to be able to carry it. But as we make ourselves available to God, God begins to do those things. Peter is, he's sitting there and he's, I don't think he was equipped at all to do ministry. Not one bit. But God calls him and he says, "Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men." Please understand that he said a fisher of men, not a tender of aquariums. This is little Walkley. Y'all say hi, Walkley. You so weird. Why did you say that? "Because you told me to." Walkley is a fish. I'll tell you a story another time. But Abigail was the one that named Walkley. And what ends up happening with us Christians sometimes is that we get so caught up in making sure that the rocks are nice and making sure that the purple flowers are nice. Oh, that's horrible. Edit that from the tape. That the orange is nice. And we're, what's up, Walkley? And that we're, I'm talking about you. And that we clean everything up and we make sure that we tend the aquarium and we stay here and we're like making sure that this thing is nice. And you know, we feed him Rice Krispies. Don't judge us. And it's like, make sure that the Rice Krispies are out if he doesn't eat it. And we tend to tend the aquarium when God did not call us to tend the aquarium. He called us to be fishers of men. He called us to take fish and to throw them into the aquarium. God cleans the fish. God does the work. Our job is to go out into the wild and bring those people into there. We're not called to tend the aquarium. We're called to be fishers of men. We're not called to stay in the 99. No, we're called to chase after the one. We're not called to be the big brother that sits there and says, "Oh my gosh, you guys are doing wrong." No, our job is to go into the whorehouses, into the crack houses, into the places where nobody else wants to go. Our job is to go into those places and to reach people and bring them into the aquarium being the house of God. The prodigal son's out there. Our job is to bring the prodigal son home. Yeah, you got to go through a process, but our responsibility is to make sure that we're just not tending aquariums, but that we're actually being fishers of men. God tells him, "I will make you a fisher of men." God told Peter, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men, not a catcher of men." There's a little bit of a difference. Me and a couple of the fellas, I think it was me, Brian, and Jason. I think before we came up here, we were kind of just talking and we would go fishing. There's no saltwater fishing in Georgia, praise God, but we went fishing in Miami. Please understand that I've been a gang member my whole life. I got saved. I've never fished a day in my life. I don't even know what that is. I know how to swim though, but I'm like, we go and we start fishing, and you should have seen us. We're like, we have three, I took them for my father-in-law, my father-in-law, and we're out there fishing. We got bait and we're like classy with it. You know what I'm saying? We're out there. We got music. I got sunflower seeds. That's my thing. And we're throwing out the bait. After a while, man, we were like, "Man, what is going on?" Like, we weren't catching absolutely anything. I think it was Jason. It was either Jason or Brian, one of them. They end up catching this like thing that was like, it was like Wackily. He caught Wackily's cousin. It was like a little tiny fish. And we're like, we thought we won the lotto though, because we had been fishing for so long. And it's just like, we catch this. I think we have a picture. Do we have a picture of, that's Wackily's cousin right there. It's Photoshop. It looks big, but it was small. And that's us. It's probably about 3 a.m. We're delirious, but we were out there. Here's the truth. We tend to think that success looks like us having a big fish on the hook or having fish on the hook, period. But time and time again, I'm going to say it because it's so true. Your success is not defined by your results. Noah preached for 70 to 90 years. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. After 70 to 90 years, you know who got in the boat? Nobody. His kids and his wife were the only ones. If I preached for 7 days and nobody got saved, you guys would call me a failure. Could you imagine for 70 years I'm preaching and nobody shows up to the church? But your success is not defined by your results. Your success is defined by your obedience, by you stepping out of your comfort zone and going out into the world and understanding that it's not your ability, but it's God. You make yourself available and God will begin to do those things. He called you a fisher of men, not a catcher of men. Your job is not to put the fish on the bait. Your job is to throw the hook out there. Your job is to put the bait on there. Your job is not to get all the fish in the sea. Your job is to throw the net and allow God to get the fishes. Called him a fisher of men, not a catcher of men. Because if we think and we find ourselves saying, oh, I'm going to be a catcher of men, then we're going to fail. And when we fail, we think we're a failure. One of the things that Jesus was teaching Peter was that, God was teaching Peter that you have to fail forward. It's not that you're a failure, it's that you have to learn how to fail forward. Peter knew a lot about failure. Peter's probably the most I resonate with in the Bible. Not because he was like, you know, on this rock I will build my church and all of the good stuff that Peter had did after. I think it's more because Peter would screw up every single thing he touched. And that's kind of who I am a little bit sometimes. I mess things up so bad sometimes. And it's funny how Peter, James, and John, they're sitting on the mountain of Transfiguration, where Jesus is sitting there with Elijah and Moses. And it's such a holy moment. And Peter's the guy who opens up his mouth and he says, hey, you want me to make 3 different houses here? I can make 3 different tents so we can just stay here in the presence of God and just be here together. And God gets mad at Peter. Read the story. Because he wanted to stay in the moment. Once the moment is past, it becomes the past. So in essence, Peter wanted to stay in the past. He didn't want to move forward. He wanted to take these 3 tents and for Jesus and for Elijah and for Moses. He wanted to just camp out there. And Jesus was like, no, it's not what we're doing. Peter would always put his mouth and get himself in so much trouble. It didn't even make sense. Remember when he was in the boat and he saw Jesus and he's like, Lord, is it you? He's like, yeah. Well, if it's you, then let me come out the boat. Like, what? Why do you want to come out the boat? He's like, no, let me come out the boat. Let me do it. Let me try. It's like Levi. Let me try. And what does he do? He gets out of the boat. As soon as he gets out of the boat, he's standing there for a little bit. And before you know it, he sinks. Peter's always getting himself into trouble. He turns to Jesus and Jesus is talking about how he's going to die and how, you know, he's going to save them and all of these things. And Peter rebukes Jesus. Far be it from me, Lord, that you would do that. You're a liar. Jesus is in the garden and he's telling the disciples, hey, please pray. Like I'm anguished unto death. Please pray. Man, Peter was like on his 14th dream. And then all of a sudden, he's sleeping. All of a sudden, he gets up groggy. He's so ghetto. He gets up groggy. Jesus is getting arrested. He pulls out the sword and he cuts somebody's ear. Bloop. It's like falling down. Jesus grabs it. He's like, in Jesus' name, in my name, I heal you. Peter, don't do that. You're stupid. Stop. He cuts the guy's ear off. He follows Jesus. And as he's following Jesus, the Bible says that he denies Jesus 3 different times. So here's Peter who... step after step, he's just getting himself in trouble over and over and over. He denies Jesus. Jesus dies. And what ends up happening is that Peter says, the Bible says that he goes back to fishing. He goes back to square one. He goes back to where it all started. Why? Because everything that I learned with Jesus, everything that I did, I just messed it up again. But this time I denied him. This time I pushed him away. I said that I didn't even know him. So what he does, he walks all the way back to square one. He's thinking, I'm not worthy to do any of these things. I can't. I've messed up. I've done everything so bad. I can't do that. Chino, I can't come back to church because I knew about God and I disrespected him. I was a hypocrite. Chino, I had sex when I wasn't married. Chino, I smoked. I drank. Chino, I did this. Chino, I did that. And there's no way that I can do that. And you go back to square one, even though you tasted, you saw that God is good. You walked in his ways. There's a moment in life where we kind to come back and we're like, oh man, I can't do it again. I messed up. And it's what Lydia was preaching about last week, where the prodigal son, he leaves and he goes on this faraway trip. And then when he comes to his senses and he's like, okay, I want to come back. All of a sudden he's thinking to himself, I got to walk all the way home, only to find out that the father was closer than he thought. He was actually running towards him. It's a picture of us with God. When we walk away, when we do things that are not supposed to be done, the moment that we repent, we turn around, we think that God is so far, when in reality, he's that close, so close that the Bible says that he was on the beach with Peter having a beachside breakfast. He restores him in square one. He met him exactly where he was. Not only that, but in the Bible, in John chapter 21, verse 19, he says this again to him. Peter, follow me. Again, the very words that he started with are the very words that he continues to push Peter for. Your mistakes, your issues, the things that you've done wrong, as the worship team to come up, those things are not going to define my love to you. They're not going to define my calling in your life. Ah, Chino, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't sing, I can't do any of those things because you don't understand the things that I've done in my life. I don't know what you've done in your life, but I know what Christ did when he went upon that cross and his body was broken and bruised for you. He created an access, not for you to disrespect it and say that that wasn't enough, that there wasn't enough power in the blood of Jesus to change you, that there wasn't enough power in the blood of Jesus to use you, that there wasn't enough power to relieve you of all that addiction. Lord, there is nothing that God will take. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing you can do, for he loves you. Peter, he gets restored in his beachside breakfast. I'm sorry, Wakali, I don't mean to be yelling so much. It's the first time in church. I don't want to feel weird. It's like, he's restored. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, I'm going to fast forward to him. When he gets to this place, there's thousands of people. The disciples have just been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Peter stands up, thousands of people, and then he begins to preach. And he begins to tell them of everything that God has done in his life and in their life. Because God will always fill you to spill you. God is always, I will, Jordan. God will always fill you to spill you. God filled Peter up with instructions. Come back a few chapters in Acts chapter 1, verses 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 8. The disciples are sitting there and they're with Jesus. He has come back. He's shown himself to over 500 different people. It's about the moment where Jesus is about to ascend. He's about to disappear out of their presence. But he sits there. He gives them instruction. He fills them with instructions. He tells them, I'm going to send you out and you're going to be my witnesses to Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, and to the entire planet. You're going to go out and you're going to be my witnesses. And they go and they begin to pray. Jesus leaves and all of a sudden they get into this house, which was Peter's house. Day one, if you ever listen to the launch message, our first Sunday, you can listen to it there and it talks about that house. And they were sitting there in Peter's house and they're praying unto God, each and every one of them. They're like completely lost in worship. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Spirit. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is going to come and it's going to empower you and you will be witnesses. He never asked for you to do it on your own. He's never said that. Why do we think we have so much confidence in ourselves or how much insecurity we have in ourselves? It's not about how much confidence or insecurity you have in yourself. It's about how God has already created the path. All he's asking is for you to move. He tells the disciples to go and they pray and they begin to pray. And then all of a sudden, in a second, the power of the Holy Spirit shows up in that place and they begin to speak in other tongues and different evidences happen in that moment, all so that they can be filled, so that they can be spilled, so that they can get the power of the Holy Spirit to give the power of the Holy Spirit. Men, women were baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit at that moment. There wasn't no, oh, you can be it. And you know, everybody who was in the room, Jesus's mom was inside of that upper room. Everybody got it. And it wasn't so that they can run around speaking tongues and flip chairs and go crazy. I've done all of that stuff. And hey, that's great. But it's selfish if that's all you do with it. If you want to feel an experience, we take God sometimes and we think God is like a Percocet or a drug. And we ingest, we get in the presence and, oh my gosh, I feel, oh, Hakuna Matata. And we do the jerky thing and we love it. And please understand, man, I'm all about the power of the Holy Spirit. I operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. The fact that you're listening to right now is the power of the Holy Spirit. But we tend to stay in that moment. And there's nothing wrong with you running, jumping. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. What's wrong with it is if you do that and then you don't do anything else. What is inside of you is supposed to be spilling out. That gift that God has placed in you is so you can spill it out. That prophecy that you got is so that you can give it to somebody. The gifts that God has given you is for you to take it and spill it. God fills you to spill you. It's selfish. It's inconsiderate to stand there and receive all the goodness of God, which he's going to pour on you. But it's selfish to become a fat sheep who has so much gifts and miracles, signs and wonders stored up inside of you and you're experiencing, you love it. But the world and the lady at the gas station is going to bust hell wide open. The kid's school teacher that you know isn't living right is going to die and go to hell. And we're Hakuna Matata, glory to God. And God fills us to spill us. Hey, next week, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to unpack that thing. And I'm believing that God is going to do a work in here. And there's some of you that already got called to ministry. You already know what you're supposed to do. There's some of us that you need the filling of the Holy Spirit to start taking a step in what God has told you to do. And next week, we're going to talk about it. What does the Holy Spirit do? Why is it that the Holy Spirit is inside of you? Why does he baptize you? Why does he do all of those things? We're going to talk about every single one of those things. Today, I want to just tell you about two of them. The first one is that the Holy Spirit empowers us. Lord Jesus, help me. I ain't got no time, but I'm going to preach this thing like I feel it. The Holy Spirit empowers us. I used to be a rapper. Don't judge me. And I used to do concerts and stuff and, you know, praise the Lord, hands up, hands down. I wasn't like Rey Masol or like Gavi back there. Like, I wasn't as cool as they were, but, I would do a little hippity hoppity, praise God. But I remember that, I remember this one time I went to this concert. It's a true story. I can't even make this up if I wanted to. I went to this concert and I just wasn't feeling good. Like, I was tired. I was like, usually I'm not advocating for this. Mallory, stop judging me in your heart. I'm not advocating for you to drink a Monster or a Red Bull, all those things. Those things are horrible. Don't do that. But I said, Red Bull and Monster aren't going to do absolutely nothing for me right now because I'm dying. And I saw this thing called the Red Line. I had never drank it before in my life, and it was the big bottle. I grabbed the Red Line and I'm like, oh, this is easy. Boom, I pop and I drink the whole thing. You're only supposed to drink half of it. I drink the whole thing. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there in the concert. The music is going. And everything sounds and everything is like in slow motion. People are like, what's up, Gino? And I'm like, why am I moving so fast right now? I'm like talking to people. I'm like, yeah, but God is so good, man. You gotta understand, the things that God does in your life, it's ridiculous. Like, when am I going? Am I next? How many people? Every Christian hip hop show has about 85 rappers, so you gotta wait for everybody. And I'm like sitting there, and I'm like, I'm already like on this, and I'm going crazy to the point. You've been here, so don't look at me with your weird face and judging. You've been there where you sat in your car, and it was in your past, your pagan days, your before Christ days, where you either drank too much or did a little bit too much of that. And I was in the car on an energy drink about to preach Jesus. And I was like, God, if you take this feeling away from me right now, I will never do that. Don't do that. You know you've done that before, God. If you take this from me right now, I will never do this again, Lord. I won't. And I promise I won't. And I'm sitting in the car like praying, God, please. Like, I just don't want it. My heart was beating. Like, you know it's bad when you're standing still and you can hear your heart. You can feel your heart. Your whole body is like shaking every heartbeat. It was horrible. It was the best concert I ever had in my life. Like, I was on hyperspeed. It was crazy. Like, I was turned. Praise God. But it's this idea that the Red Line had empowered me to do something that I otherwise couldn't do on my own. Ooh. Romans chapter 15, verse 19. Listen what the Apostle Paul says. Romans chapter 15, verse 19. It says, this is him talking now about the things that he's done. He said, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that Jerusalem and all around about Lycurium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The Holy Spirit will empower you to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. Hey man, we're a church that believes that God is still in the business of miracles, signs, and wonders. He's not in the business of weird, but he is in the business. He's not in the business of people profiting from miracles, signs, and wonders, but he is in the business of taking a broken girl who keeps cutting herself and giving her the ability to receive freedom. He does still heal. He does still bless people. He does still take people from a broken, messed up state and put them in a place where now they're a part of the body of Jesus Christ. I would hate to think that the very things that saved my life, God no longer uses. Now, I believe that he still uses those things and he empowers you so that you can use those things. Not only does the Bible empower you, but the Bible transforms us. The Holy Spirit transforms us. It empowers us. It gives us these giftings inside of us so that we can operate in a broken and hurting world, so that we can love people. But it transforms us. Abby's my daughter, and Abby's 2 years old, going on 24. If you know her, you know what I'm talking about. This girl's 2 years old and she talks to you in full sentences. Not only does she talk to you in full sentences, but she asks you questions and engages in conversation. Papi, why you do that? Well, baby, I don't know. Why you don't know? It's like, you're two! You're not supposed to talk to me like that. Abby's strong and she's very intelligent. And I remember this one time that I think I was talking to Levi. I don't remember. We were doing something and I told him, I said, shut up. And we don't say shut up in our house. And it's funny because now the word that we use, be quiet, she says that the same way she says shut up. But that's another story in and of itself. But we don't say shut up. And one time I said, shut up. And Abby turns to me and with a finger in my face, she said, Papi, don't say that. You don't say shut up. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, who are you talking to? Remember, I don't believe in timeout. Believe in knockout. But I'm like, boo boo, who are you talking to? And she's like, you don't say that. And then in Spanish, we're Cuban, so she said, eso no se hace. And then she tells me, you go timeout. And I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean go timeout? Like, you go timeout. You don't go timeout? I give you papao. And she hits me. She's two, bro. She's 2 years old. And Abby hits me. I'm like, here's the crazy part about it. Abby, it's been around me for so long that my mannerisms, the things that I say, the way that I operate around her has transformed her into this little human. We know when we hang around with somebody for a long period of time, we start saying the things that they say. Our slang changes when we get around our friends who we've been around for so long. You start to adapt them. As you get married, the things that annoyed you about your spouse when you first got married, all of a sudden you're starting to do those things. Because you spend time together. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit transforms you. It begins to make you just like Him. You start to see the things the way that he sees it. You start to do the very things that he does. You find yourself taking steps that Jesus takes. The things that break his heart begin to break your heart. Peter, the mess up. Peter, the guy that couldn't figure it out. He always put his foot in his mouth. He's always doing dumb things. In Acts chapter 2, verses 14, immediately after they received the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that there's thousands of people and they're saying, oh, they're up there drunk. They're drunk. And Peter says, nah, it's not that we're drunk. Let me explain to you. Understand the ramification of this. Jesus was always the one preaching. Jesus was always the one standing in front of crowds. When the disciples try to do it and they try to cast out a demon, the Bible says that Jesus had to come from his prayer closet, from his time of prayer, and he was like, what's going on? And he's like, we can't cast the demon out of the little boy. He throws himself in the fire. And Jesus said, how long do I got to deal with you, Peter? Just this kind doesn't come out but by prayer or fasting. And Jesus was always the one that preaching. But look at this picture that now it's Peter in front of thousands of people doing the very same thing that Jesus did. Now, Peter is preaching the gospel. Peter is preaching just like Jesus. Why do we have Jesus? What'd he come for? What's the whole big deal about this thing called Christianity? The Bible says that out of his own mouth, he said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. If Jesus's job and full mission in life is to save and to seek that which is lost, then guess what, brothers and sisters? It's our job to seek and to save that which is lost. We do the very same things. We're empowered by the very same spirit that empowered the disciples. Our job are to be empowered to fill and to spill, to be transformed into the likeness, to be transformed into Jesus. And at the moment that we are, man, the things that he does, we do the same. I was in Miami a couple days ago. Lord, I gotta finish this thing. I was in Miami a few days ago, and man, it's amazing. I told you about it, where we got to baptize my mom, and it's beautiful stuff that you don't even understand. And we have, there's this ledge, and it's like about 10 feet. And you jump into the water in Key Biscayne. If you're Cuban, you know about that. La Playa de los Perros. And you jump into... I didn't speak in tongues. It's the beach of the dogs. It's so weird. There's dogs everywhere. You jump into it and it's like 10 feet. But then there's another one that is about 30 feet. The one on 30 feet is how I used to initiate all of the college student who was there. Sasha was over here. I was a college director, so we had about 40-something students, and I was the youth pastor. So if you wanted to be a youth leader, I would take you out to this beach, and we would jump off of this bridge. It was kind of like our initiation for people, and it was fun, and it was exciting. The boys have never been able to do that because they were little. And then all of a sudden, as we start hanging out, I'm like, you know what? I'm at the beach, and I started thinking about it. I was like, the bridge is over there. And I turned to the kids, and I turned to Levi, and I'm like, hey, Levi. I said, you want to jump off the top of the bridge? I can't even make this up. Levi, he's right here. Levi turns to me. He looks at me in the face. He says, I've been waiting for this my whole life. I can't even make this up. He looks at me straight in the face. I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. I was just waiting for you. So I'm like, me and my wife were there just like, there's this serious moment. We're like, wait, what? It's like Abby, him. These kids are super intelligent. I'm like, they get it from my wife, not from me. And I'm like, well, let's go then. And we get up there and we get to the top. And Levi was a little bit nervous at first. He's kind of apprehensive. He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, Levi, just jump off the little one first. And he jumps off the little one. And then we kind of go back. And then Ramses, who is his older brother, they're both kind of like scared. And what I say is, let's do this. Get on the other side of the rail. So there's a railing. You jump over the railing. You get to the edge. And you look at the water. And then you jump. I can't jump forward. I have to do a backflip because I'm scared. But I'm like, just stand at the edge, sit on the rail, and just look. Just look at the water. If you want to jump, you can jump. Bro, Ramses is sitting next to me. He's like, Papi, we're going to jump. I was like, yeah, let's do it. He's like, 1, 2, 3. He jumps for the first time, 30 feet in the air. Boosh. As a father, I'm like, I'm just not going to jump in right now. I wasn't ready or prepared. So as a good father, I'm going to make sure he comes up. Boom, he came up. Okay, awesome. You go over there. Praise God. The Holy Spirit got him. God, he takes care of my children. Praise God. So it's horrible parenting. Edit that from the podcast. It's going too long anyway. I'm sitting there and I'm with Levi, and I'm like, Levi, just get on the other side. And as I'm telling Levi, get on the other side, just look at the water. If you don't want to jump up it, you don't have to jump. Just look at it and say, oh, this is not that bad. And then jump. And as I'm sitting here and I was thinking about it, man, I felt like the Holy Spirit talked to me so clear that day. Here's a challenge that I want to put out to you, Greater Church. Go on the other side of the rail. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about reaching people, the lost, and God has hijacked this Love Me series, and Love Me is a cry that this world is giving to us. They're saying, love me. Please find me. Please save me. And it's hard sometimes. If we're honest, man, you maybe walk through life, and week after week, you hear an encouraging message, but I've heard stories of people who have actually talked to somebody, and man, I can't wait to tell you guys about that. Anibal gave me a ridiculous story about somebody who he stepped out and he jumped into the water, and the miracle that came out of that is beautiful. And while others of us, we just, it's tough, man. We're being honest, to talk to somebody about Jesus, to invite them to church. Like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't know you. But here's my challenge to you. Would you get on the other side of the rail? Would you look at the water? Would you sit at Chick-fil-A, Burger King, McDonald's, whatever it is, and would you just look at the landscape of that place and look at the people? And would you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you just the things that they're going through? Would you just stand on the other side of the rail and we just look at the person at your job, at your school, would you look at these people with the eyes of Jesus? And would you just, if you want to talk to them, I want you to talk to them. I want you to talk, love on them. Remember that success is not defined by results. Success is defined by obedience. So it's not that the person gets saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, come back, you go to the bathroom and baptize them. No, it's about starting a relationship with somebody, about going on a journey with somebody, about loving somebody and loving the hell out of them. But would you jump on the other side of the rail? And would you just open your eyes intentionally and start looking at your job, wherever you shop, at the gas station that you go to all the time, the Dunkin' Donuts, shout out to Joe, wherever it is that you go, would you intently look and say, Holy Spirit, show me. And here's what I want you to do. If you feel led, and I hope you feel led, jump in the water. But just go on the other side of the rail. And God is going to begin to show you, man, this broken and hurting world. He's going to show you that there's people, man, that need you. There's people that they don't have it all figured out. I'm excited because we have a great opportunity on February 18th. And you're going to hear so much more about it online. If you're not following us at My Greater Church, you're going to hear about it March 29th, March 18th. What did I say? Yeah, it already passed. We're living in the past. It's like, let's build the three homes. No, I don't want to build the three homes. Bible jokes. March 18th, we're going to have something here called Sunday Fun Day. And on that day, all of us are going to invite our friends. We're going to write five people's name down next week. We're going to do some cool stuff. And on March 18th, our job is that we're going to invite the community. We're going to have a field day for the kids. There's going to be so much fun that's going to go out there in the service. We bought a bunch of giveaways. We're going to have and it's going to be Sunday Fun Day for real. We're going to have fun as we gear up towards Easter. But on March 18th, we're going to invite everybody to the house. That's going to be a moment for you to look at that person that you know you've been talking to and invite them to the church. We believe here at Greater Church, man, that this thing is not built on the talents of a couple of people. It's not built on the talents of a couple of people who preach or incredible musicians, but it's built on the sacrifice of everybody. The disciples built this thing called Christianity, not on success after success, but sacrifice after sacrifice. And sometimes it's going to take you leaving your insecurities, your worries, your fear, and putting them away and saying, Jesus, I'm going to step out and I'm going to jump into the water and I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus. It's not about building a big church. It's about building a city that's broken, lost, and on its way to hell. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this challenge. And on the next few days and the next week, I want you to look for opportunities. If you decide, I'm going to jump into the water. Hey, can I talk to you for a second? How are you doing? I saw you over there. And, just where you from? Great conversation starter, because nobody's from Kennesaw or Ackworth. Nobody in the world. There's like one of you guys that are here that actually were born or either raised here. Nobody's from here. It's a great conversation starter. Hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Miami. Where in Miami? Hialeah. You're my cousin. We're related somewhere down the line. We're related. And I'm saying, just start a conversation with people. And here's what I'd ask you. We're going to kind of gear up this whole follow me thing online and on Facebook and IG. And man, I would love, if you have one of those stories, I would love for you to go on our Instagram or our Facebook and just write, send us a message. Hey, I had a conversation with somebody today at the gas station and I talked to them and this is the person's name and I'm going to invite them to Sunday Fun Day on March 18th. They're going to come over here and they're going to hang out with us. Take a second and just write us a message. But what I want you to do is I want you to get out of your own comfort zone. You don't have to jump. All I want you to do is get on the other side of the rail. Because on that other side of the rail, man, there's some broken, hurting individuals that need the gospel of Jesus. And I'd be dumb to think that this room is full of a bunch of believers that are ready to jump into the water. But if we're honest, I know that some of us are inside the water and we feel like we're drowning. And we're talking about, Chino, you're talking about jumping in the water, seek and save people. And Chino, I'm not even there yet. Chino, I'm over here mending my nets. I haven't even got the first follow me from Jesus. I've been working hard. I've been under the water. I've been trying to figure it out. Life has thrown everything you can imagine at me. And I'm just trying to get through it. Jesus hasn't come to say, follow me. But here's the moment that I want to present to you right now. Jesus is saying to you, follow me. March 4th. 2018. Listen to the voice of Jesus loud and clear. Follow me.
Hey, would you bow your head and close your eyes?
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach the lost and empower the found. We pray this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please help us to continue to spread the word by investing today. You can give at greater.church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on social media at @mygreaterchurch.